Don Dowd, your host for Mystery Time. Tonight, as every Thursday night, Mystery Time turns to the classics of literature to bring you mystery classics. Great stories of the past brought vividly alive by famous stars. Our star tonight, Michael Redgrave. Our classic, the famous sardonic tale by Nikolai Gogol titled The Overcoat. It is a story full of the drama and the human compassion for which Gogol is noted. Michael Redgrave, with his accustomed skill, brings to vivid reality the part of the modest government clerk, Akaky Akakievich Basmachkin.
Yes, that's my name. Akaky Akakievich Basmachkin. Born in St. Petersburg, March 29, 1780. Died in St. Petersburg, February 1st, 1830. Oh, yes, I'm afraid I'm dead. And this story of the overcoat is really the story of my death. Well, in actual fact, it was an overcoat that pulled the death of me. Although I find heaven a little milder than St. Petersburg, at least in the winter, even it was an overcoat that...
Akaky Akakievich!
Yes, Your Honor, immediately, Your Honor, not once. You see, my profession is, or rather, it was, that of a government clerk. Whatever else happened in my department, I was always to be found at the same desk, engaged in the same work. You see, I was a copying clerk, and more than that, I never aspired to be.
Akaky Akakievich!
Coming, sir!
Yes, sir. Yes.
Copy this.
Certainly, sir, at once.
Oh, and this other one. Here now.
This to be copied, sir?
Well, no. I want you to alter the headings for me. Oh, and turn it from the first person singular into the third.
First person into the third?
Turn all the I's into he's, man. That's simple enough,
isn't it? Well, if you really think so. Of course, I'm not at all used to, you know, that kind of work, but it's not quite what I was...
All right, just copy it then.
Well, copy it I did. And at the end of the year, I could be sure that my work would have paid me just what it always had paid me. Exactly 400 rubles. There isn't in Petersburg a mortal foe of the copying clerk who only earned 400 rubles a year. And that foe is the Russian winter.
Ooh. To death, Peter Vasilievich.
Oh, but, my dear man, what can you expect with an overcoat like that?
Overcoat like what?
But it's a regular sieve. It's full of holes. And there, across the shoulder, it's worn through.
But it's...
It isn't an overcoat at all. It's not even got a collar left.
Oh, but Peter Vasilievich, I had to have most of the collar made into a patch for the elbow here.
Oh, for goodness sake, Akakievich, go and get a new one. But before it falls to pieces entirely.
There were no two ways about it. I did need a new overcoat. But overcoats cost money, and money was hard to come by. In any case, perhaps the overcoat could be patched again. Grigory Petrovich, the tailor, could do it if he didn't mind, too. And provided he could stay sober long enough. Well, I decided to call and see him.
Come in.
Good evening, Grigory Petrovich.
Look, you see, I brought you this.
You brought me what? I can't hear
it's like this, Grigory Petrovich. This overcoat of mine is, you see, it's got a little bit thin here and there. Though it's perfectly good everywhere else. You see, it's strong as anything.
All it's good for is making foot claws.
No, I don't want to do that.
Wrap them around your feet when it gets a bit cold.
No, but what about.
You'll have to get a new one.
Get a new one? But. Grigory Petrovich, I haven't got the money for a new one.
Well, to get a new one, new overcoat.
Well, if I did get a new one, how much?
Will it cost? Well, say, 150 rubles or so.
150 rubles for an overcoat? Of course, I knew that Grigory Petrovich, the tailor, would make me a fine new coat for 80 rubles. But where were 80 rubles to be found?
Oh, it's a painful surprise.
If I give up burning candles in the evening, of course, well, I can go strolling on the landing for a few minutes if I need to see what I'm doing. Well, if I take longer strides and walk very carefully, maybe my shoes will last a bit longer and I'll be able to save on the reselling. Well, the fact is, I just had to cut down expenses.
Oh, yes.
This was all very difficult, saving up those 80 rubles. It was taking a very long time indeed, months and months and months. It would have taken... But then suddenly, I had a stroke of luck.
Akaki, Akaki,
sorry, sir.
You've been with the department a long time, Akaki, Akaki.
28 years of February, sir.
A long time.
But, sir, I hope... you know, I've always tried in every way for... never for a single moment.
Exactly. And so as a reward for your good service, I've persuaded His Excellency to allow you a gratuity.
Exactly.
A gratuity in recognition of service. The amount agreed is 60 rubles.
60 rubles? Oh, thank you, sir. Oh,
but,
I
suppose you'll...
What, sir?
I suppose you'll now be getting a new overcoat.
Well, there it is. The best value for money you'll get in St. Petersburg.
It certainly does look very handsome. It looks really a beautiful overcoat.
Oh, if I didn't live on a small street without a signboard, you understand.
If I
hadn't known you for too long, Akaki, Akaki.
Yes, I appreciate that you go.
Not that any other tailor would agree to take a mere 12 rubles for all his troubles.
Yeah.
On an every prospect you'd pay, they'd ask you at least 70 francs.
Oh, yes, of course, I should never do
that. And of course, there were the extra buttonholes, and what we saved you by using cat fur for the collar.
Yes.
And mechanical lining, of course. It's not quite so good a stiff, but it saved you. At least it saved
you. Thank you, Gregor Petrovich. I'm 80 rubles exactly, and... I'll say 10 kopecks for your trouble.
Thank you, sir. I'll take just a drop to your health. A very smart, well-tailored overcoat.
Yes, it is.
Well, I got my new overcoat at last. And there was no doubt about it. The overcoat was a good one. The cloth was thick and the coat was warm. Even though the wind was whistling through the streets as I walked to work next morning.
Oh, it's cold enough to freeze. You sit at the board.
Oh, just what do you think so? It gives a lot of warmer this morning. That's just because I've got a...
Not that warmer? In an old rag of a coat like... But wait a minute. What? Why, you've got a new overcoat.
Yes, you like it.
Listen, everybody.
Akaki has got a new overcoat as well.
New
magnificent, my dear fellow.
Could anything be more elegant?
Or warmer?
Or more becoming?
My
dear fellow, I congratulate you.
Oh, no. It's nothing really, but you really do.
Magnificent.
Well, I'm sure I shouldn't have done
that. Well, I tell you what we'll do. Today happens to be my name. Yes, believe it or not. Will you all come down to my apartment this evening?
Oh.
And then we'll have a little party to launch the overcoat. You'll come?
Thank you.
And you'll come too, Akaki Akakavi.
Well, it's really very kind of you here in Bigfoot.
Splendid. And of course, you'll bring your overcoat.
And so, in due course, I made my way across the town to Vasily's apartment. And since Vasily was an assistant head clerk, of course, that meant he lived in the better part of the town, a long, long way away from my modest room. The streets were gay with lamps, and sledges dashed along through the snow, their bells jingling merrily, and I was as warm as toast and as happy as a lark. And as for the party, well, that was a great success.
My friend, I tell you that a man who possesses an overcoat like yours cannot possibly need to wear any
stuff. Oh, no, but Peter Vasilyevich, this is getting on for midnight.
Oh, with an overcoat like yours, I can't hear Kakievich.
He does no math.
So who's ready for a game of cards?
He said, Nikolai.
Yes, wonderful. Of course.
And
come on.
Sure, Kaki, Kaki.
No, I'm very sorry. No, I don't play cards. I've never yet.
Oh, then you've written what?
And have a drink. Everybody have another drink.
Oh, no, thank you. I really think, though, if you don't mind.
Nonsense. Drop your chair.
What? Well, thank you very much. If you'll just excuse me for a moment. Excuse me. Just a moment. I will be back in a moment.
While the rest of the party settled down to their cars, I gracefully withdrew, picked up my overcoat from the floor of a passage where I was horrified to find it lying, dusted it off and put it on quietly, and let myself out into the street. The street lamps grew less and less, the streets themselves grew meaner. Soon, there was not another soul abroad but myself. The fuel muffled the sound of my footsteps. The shuttered windows of the wooden houses threw no chink of light. At last, I came to a deserted square. I felt a strange presentiment of evil waiting for me there in the darkness. Then, halfway across the emptiness of the square, two figures loomed up suddenly out of the darkness.
Oh! I'm sorry, you startled me.
Give me that overcoat.
What? My overcoat?
Yes, your overcoat. I say it's mine.
No, but how can it be? No, this is my overcoat. It's a new one.
Yeah, but
don't
let it.
No,
come on up. No!
No,
let me go.
Let me go.
I can't
let
it keep from mouth shut.
No, come on. Give it back to me.
I have been robbed. The overcoat which I'd saved up so painfully had been stolen from me the very first night I had worn it. And as I stumbled after them through the snow, the fumes vanished away into the darkness. The deserted square fell back into utter silence. Only one glimmer of light could be seen across it, the light from a sentry box. I ran frantically towards it.
What's all the noise about?
I've been robbed. You were asleep. Asleep on duty. You let them rob me.
Now, steady on. Who's been robbed?
So I have. They've stolen my overcoat. You let them steal it.
I let them steal it?
Yes.
You let them steal it.
But
I saw you talking to the men out there.
What?
Thought they were your friends.
No.
Well, why didn't you shout out if they were robbing you?
Because they stole me. I couldn't speak. They stole my overcoat. Why don't you go after them? Why don't you arrest them?
Well, they must be a couple of versts away by now.
If
they stole your overcoat, you'll have to report it. Tomorrow morning.
No, but to the superintendent.
No, but my overcoat, what can I do about that?
Just take my advice, sir. Go off home before you catch you get a cold. Standing about on a night like this with no coat on.
First thing the following morning, I was there at the superintendent's door. At last, after exercising my authority for the very first time in my life, admittedly, only to a fellow clerk, I was ushered into the superintendent's presence. There I told my story in all its agonizing detail.
Now, one moment, if you please. You were on your way home, and it was late. You had been somewhere very late at night. Shall I tell you where you had been, sir?
Where?
Had been to a place of ill repute, sir. That is where you had been.
No!
I've never done such a thing in my
life.
And after such an expedition, such a debauch, you have the cool effrontery to come here, with a complaint about the loss of an overcoat. Shall I tell you something, my dear sir?
No. Yes. What?
I very much doubt whether you had the overcoat with you at all after you left the, set out for your home.
I was attacked by thieves. They did steal my overcoat, I tell you. They did. I know they did.
Well, sir, we shall see. Yes. We shall see, sir. And now, sir, if you will pardon me, good day, sir.
The That was the first day in my life that I've been absent from my desk at the department. The following day, I was back at my desk once more, copying. But the news of the loss of my overcoat was on everybody's lips, and I was the sad recipient of much sympathy and much well-intentioned advice.
Too bad about your overcoat, my dear fellow. Incredibly bad luck. You know, I really wish you hadn't slipped away like that on your own. If you'd waited for the others, it probably wouldn't have happened at all.
No, Vasily Ilyaronovich, but you know, I was very tired.
Oh, look, there's only one thing to be done. You must go and see His Excellency. Now, tell him the whole story and persuade him to take the matter up for you in proper quarters. Is that clear, sir?
Excuse me, he would do that, do you think?
Of course he would, I'm sure of it. A person of some authority, that's what he is. A person of considerable authority.
But will he be able to get my overcoat back?
Well, if His Excellency can't, who could?
His Excellency was indeed a person of the very highest authority. His bearing was dignified and majestic. He had held in considerable awe. His Excellency was a man who believed in putting people in their proper place and keeping them there. Nevertheless, he was a man with a kind heart, a good-natured man with his equals, and none of which fond of his friends. Even more fond of impressing them. He was impressing one of them the day that I called upon him.
This fellow, whatever he is, that's waiting to see me, what's his name again?
Akaki Akakievich Bashmatskin, Your Excellency.
Curious name. And what is he, would you say? A clerk, did you say?
Yes, Your Excellency. A copying clerk in the department.
Very well. Have him come in. This will probably amuse you, my dear Count. A copying clerk from the department to see me. Oh, good, eh? Give them an inch, these clerks, and they'll take a mile. But what on earth can he want with me, really? Well, we shall see what we can do for him, eh?
Akakievich Bashmatskin, Your Excellency.
Well, what do you want? Well, speak up, man. I shan't eat you. Have you lost your tongue? Eh? Have you?
Please, Your Excellency, I...
Well, go on, man. Go on. Don't just stand there.
My overcoat, Your Excellency.
Your overcoat? What the deuce are you talking about? You come here, taking up my valuable time, babbling about your overcoat? What's the matter with it, anyway?
I've lost it, Your Excellency.
Lost it? Do you mean to say that you've got the confounded effrontery to come here?
That it was stolen, Your Excellency. A new overcoat. It cost me 80 rubles. It was stolen off my back by a pack of thieves.
What, sir? You come and bother me about it? Me? Don't you know the proper way to proceed? But don't you know how things are done? You ought first to have handed in your petition to the office.
But I mentioned, Your Excellency, clerks are very undependable.
How dare you, sir? What sort of ideas are these? Do you realize who you are talking to, sir?
Yes, sir.
You realize who I am?
Yes, sir.
Get out! Let's hear no more of this tomfoolery. An overcoat, indeed.
How I managed to crawl away, how I got out into the street even, I never knew. In all my life, I've never been supposed to be a little reprimanded by a person of such authority. I went out into a snowstorm that was whistling through the streets. The wind blew and buffeted me from corner to corner across the town. The wind, which only a good warm overcoat could help to keep us away. And by the time I reached my cheerless room, I was frozen to the marrow.
The holy saints protect you, sir. You must get to bed at once. Oh, dear, it may be your death you've caught.
It was my death that I'd caught. The next day I was in a fever. And the day after that I was delirious. And the day after that in a coma. And the day after that I was dead. Yes, Akaki Akakievich Bashmatskin was dead. A creature had departed this life whose cause no man could champion, who was dear to no one and missed by no one. It was several days before I was even missed in the department. for there had been a little copying required at that time. And when I had been missed, a porter was sent to inquire about me.
Did you go to his room?
That's right, sir.
Well, didn't I tell you to bring him back with you? I want an explanation. Where is he?
He couldn't come, sir.
Why? Is he ill or something?
Not exactly,
well,
sir.
What the devil is the matter with him, then?
Well, sir, they buried him 3 days ago.
No. Really? Dear me.
Peter Vasilievich.
Yes, sir.
You wanted me?
Yes. Akaki Akakievich is dead. You'll have to copy this.
And I'm afraid that Akaki Akakievich was not missed very much by anyone. My landlady sold my few possessions to pay the doctor's bill and funeral expenses. And somewhere in St. Petersburg, a man was wearing my overcoat. But when the news of my death had chanced to reach him, one man did feel a twinge of conscience on my behalf, and that man was a person of great authority.
Yes, in some ways, perhaps I was a little abrupt with the fellow. You know what I am, all bark and no bite. As a matter of fact, after I'd thought it over for a day or two, I sent one of my clerks round to get a few particulars. The fellow had lost his overcoat of all ridiculous things. But when my man arrived, they told him the fellow was dead. Too bad, you see. Too late to do anything for it. No, no, Count, I must be off. Charming, big Charming. No, don't come down to the door. Far too cold. This winter really has been bitter. Terrible night.
His Excellency was helped into his warm fur coat and climbed into his sledge. His driver cracked the whip, and the sledge moved off down the street. His Excellency turned up his collar against the wind and settled himself under his pile of furs. Suddenly, he got a tug at his fur collar. The wind rose wildly. He started under his nose to see a man standing on the sledge beside him. A short, unimportant little man with a small, bald patch without an overcoat.
Oh, no, it's not you that I want. It's your overcoat. You refused to help me and you were arrogant. You didn't care about my overcoat. Now, give me yours.
Oh, yes, His Excellency gave up his overcoat. He tore it off and flung it out of the sledge into the road. And the driver cracked his whip with his eyes jumping out of his head, and the horses galloped away into the night. His Excellency arrived back, chilled to the marrow, for his had been a very fine overcoat. Oh, yes. Yes. An overcoat of the very highest authority.